accession number 18828, Reel 2.
Lionel Knight, Reel 2. You're just saying, I think, that you were taught everything about tanks at Sandhurst.
Yes, that's right. And all the various calibers of guns, all the various tanks that they had available at that time. We had to drive them, we had to fire them. It's all part of the training there.
What type of equipment did the 8th East Lancs have in Nottinghamshire?
They were just coming in, as I remember, to the American Shermans and Lees and Grants. But they also had a few of the British Crusaders, Sardingans.
Is that what you call them?
Well, they were a bit like that. They had very little armour. Anyway.
But evidently you didn't like it with that battalion.
I wasn't very happy with them, no. As I say, they weren't nasty or anything like that, but it just wasn't my scene very much. It was a very regimental scene. And, well, I just didn't care for it. I'm sorry.
You liked it more free and easy.
Yeah, I did. That's really why I wanted to join the tanks more than anything else, because that is a very free and easy type of regiment.
You're telling me about embarking in the Mataroa?
Yes. New Zealand meat ship, originally. 12,000 tons. Funny how you remember those things.
What was the voyage like?
I didn't go to Southampton, I'm mistaken. I went to Gourock, up in Scotland. And we went right out on the mid-Atlantic, my whole convoy. And eventually touched in at Freetown, where we were refueled, oil, coal, of course, in those days. And then headed out to sea again and dropped in at Durban. And when we got to Durban, we were taken off the Mataroa and went up country for a while and spent 2 nights in South Africa. And I was able to spend a night in Durban and had a very nice steak, which I couldn't eat. Wasn't used to so much food. And then, 2 days later, we got on board a Dutch East Indies liner, which was a little different from the Mataroa, to say the least. Luxury. Air conditioning, the lot. And then we went right up to Aden, where again they refueled with coal. Took us up to Port Suez. Which end is Suez? I never forget. Port Said,
Suez
one
is
end.
The south end.
Pardon?
Suez is the south end.
Oh, well, we went to Suez and unloaded there and took us by train up to Cairo in the Abbasia Barracks, where I languished for about a month. And then I was posted to the Staffordshire Yeomanry. And our transport up there was in tanks which were being carried on tank transporters, not rail transporters, vehicle transporters. And I got to a place called, was it a gala? I think it was a little gala, and I came down with dysentery. And I eventually joined my regiment at Christmas 1942.
Had you seen any fighting by then?
Not until I got there. From there on, yes. Because they hadn't reached Libya by then. joined them at a place called Nophilia. And then, of course, there was the usual tank battles and the desert.
What was your job with the Staff's Yeomanry?
Oh, I was a troop leader. They eased me in. They were very good, because I had no battle experience in tanks. And they put me in reserve for the first battle we had. And I didn't come into the end of the battle when it was all over. We were equipped with two Crusaders at that time. We had one squadron of Crusaders and two squadrons of Shermans. And our squadron was the Crusaders, which were used. They were quite fast, the Crusaders. They were very lightly armoured. They only had 2-pounder guns on them. But they were the ones who did the scouting forward all the time until you hit something, and then up came the rest. But of course, that was really the story of the North African campaign, all up through a series of what they called left hooks, outflanking the Germans all the way. And the terrain was pretty awful at times, but inland. But once we'd hit Tunisia, it was so beautiful to see some green again. And we were around the area of Sousse and Sfax. It was very nice.
Can you describe any incidents in the fighting you were in, please?
I'm trying to remember. It's I can remember one very good instance of a place called Omfieldville. I remember that because it was a bit tragic. But we had 3 tanks to a troop. Our troop was forward, and they had just brought in these things called minenwerfers, which were huge mortars. I'm told they were about 1,000 millimeter jobs. It made the most awful noise as they came through the air. And I had my corporal's tank in front of me, and one of them landed right on top. Well, they were well, this establish the Germans on top of the place at Old Field. It was pretty high hills. We were down in the plains, and nothing really happened until the New Zealanders got their infantry and got in and winkled them out, that we were able to move very much from there. Of course, we had to leave the tank that got hit and go back. And, well, I suppose it must have been a week later, 10 days later.
Who was in the tank?
I can't remember his name now. It was a corporal. I can't remember any of their names, because in actual fact, I'd lost the tank previously, one of my other tanks, and he had come from a reserve and come into my troop. I didn't know him all that well, and I can't even remember his name now. But that wasn't very pleasant.
How had you lost the tank previously?
That was through, as far as I remember now, he had a a shell through his engine, so the tank was out of service, and they brought one in basically quickly from another squadron, in actual fact. And
so you weren't in that tank?
No, no. I never got hit until I got in Normandy. Charm life.
Was that second tank you talked about also at Enfidaville?
Yes, that was at Enfidaville.
Both of them?
No, the one was just previous to that. I can't remember the name of it. I know the place very much because I was bitten to pieces and got malaria eventually. But I can't. I just don't remember. I'm sorry. All I do now is, of course, we finished up with a very hard battle, really the one basically before we got into Tunis.
Can you describe that one, please?
Yes, it was another one of these things that was not going to be a letter. It was the Marath line, I think they called it. And it was a pretty strongly defended line. And it was, you could do nothing else but just go in. And there was so much dust and God knows what else. You were on top of the German anti-tank people before you knew where you were. It was very scary. We had, I think, as it so happened, I think we only had two or three tanks knocked out, because I don't know whether it was a complete surprise or what, but the Germans seemed to just give up the ghost. I suppose they'd been on the run for a long time now, and they began to think, you know, well, this is near the end anyway. And they didn't put up as much as a resistance as we thought they would, but it was pretty hairy. You never know. When you're in the middle, you don't think very much about it, you know. At least maybe I have a selective memory. I think most people do when they're talking about this sort of thing, you know. You remember the things you want to remember. But basically, we'd almost come to the end of the line then. Of course, there was Tripoli before then, which was a big breakthrough there.
Were you in that?
Well, outside Tripoli, yes. We didn't go right into the city, but outside city, yes. I went in the city afterwards, but We very rarely got into the town, you know. Well, the tanks didn't. Infantry did, of course, and supplies did, but basically tanks were always 2 or 3 miles outside. I can understand why. I mean, you had to be there in case, I suppose, of any counterattack. But you could get in there in Tripoli. We were allowed in for things had come to a bit of a halt, and we were allowed in to have a look around on foot. Whilst things got reorganised for the rest of the push into Tunisia, which was a very nice country.
What did you think of the calibre of the German enemy in North Africa?
They were good. There was no doubt about that. They were good. I wouldn't say just North Africa either. They were very good altogether. Unfortunately.
How did you feel about this new unit, the Staff's Yeomanry, as compared with the East Lancs?
I was completely at home there. They were a territorial unit, you see. I don't know whether that made any difference. But going into a tank regiment, they'd been out there since 1939. They went out with horses to Palestine. And they were there for a couple of years before they were changed into tanks and came down into Egypt. And they were there from practically the outbreak of war until we came home in 1943. They were away 4 years.
So you were performing a scouting role most of the time in North Africa?
Yes, but immediately backed up by your own. It's only just a question of you probably being a quarter mile in front of the rest of the people behind you. The idea was to find out, test out, where the people were and where they weren't. And then when you found them, get back as quickly as possible with the heavier stuff to come up to deal with it. Because ours, we couldn't deal with it, really. When the Germans were talking, even at that time, where they were talking about it, they had 88mm guns. Well, the best we had was 75mm, which was on the American tanks, and the 6-pounder, which they later put on to the Crusader. You had 1 6-pounder per troop, the rest were 2-pounders. Well, that's basically it. Went up through Tunisia. Tunis, very nice town. That's all I can tell you. And of course, about the war was over by then. We had some leave, and I went to Algiers for about 2 days, I think. By the time we travelled there and travelled back, it was about 600 miles away. But the experience was quite nice.
Did you see any enemy prisoners in Tunisia?
Only in Tripoli, mainly, Tripolitania. I'd say Tripolitania, Libya then.
What was their demeanour?
Pardon?
What was the demeanour of the enemy prisoners?
You know, I never really saw them particularly downhearted. I'll tell you more about that, because I saw far more of them in Germany. But that was the tale, and we stayed up there for, I suppose, a month or more, just outside a place called Leptis Magna, out on the Mediterranean, and had a holiday, because that's what it was. Then they sent me back from there, believe it or not. I couldn't believe my luck, really. I was sent back to Cairo with a crew, first crew from the regiment, on a gunnery exercise. Some have been travelling all the way up through the whole campaign. They sent us back to Cairo, the barracks, for a gunnery exercise. We had this huge room there, a sort of layered, I can remember it very well, a massive table there with sand all over the place and little vehicles popping around. And we were there with a fixed 2-2 gun firing at these things in the mock sand. It was pathetic, really. Anyway, the whole regiment came back to a place called Beni Yusuf, just outside Cairo, and we embarked at Alexandria. I'd been on sick leave then because the malaria had caught up with me in Cairo, and I was in Arix for a week or 10 days. Then we came home via the Mediterranean, dropped in, we didn't go ashore, but we just dropped in at Sicily, and then landed back in Scotland. And we were all given 2 weeks leave.
When did you get back about?
It must have been Christmas 43, something like that. Christmas 43. And then they sent us, having reassembled us, to Lossiemouth, North Scotland, Inverness-shire. And we were there all through January, February, and March. And it was a bit of a culture shock having come back from the Middle East to the north of Scotland. It's a bit chilly, to say the least.
What was the battalion doing there?
Again, we were doing exercises, cross-country exercises, because we'd done none of that abroad, you see. There were no hedges and trees and that type of thing out there, and it was a different ball game altogether. And I was trying to get my facts, the sequence right. We went down to a place near Great Yarmouth, and they decided that we would have to get we were sent down to Newmarket, near Newmarket, and there all our tanks were waterproofed, ready for the invasion. And that took quite a long time, because a lot of welding took place, extra armor was put on the tanks, and we were all then equipped with 75mm and Sherman tanks, diesel Shermans, which were a vast improvement. And then we were sent down to Brighton, and we camped on the streets of Brighton for about 3 or 4 days, because we were all self-sufficient. This is the beauty, if you like, about it, the tank regiments as well, that each troop, each tank, had their own food supply on board, their own makings, fires and all the rest of it. And you all had to take your turn making the meals. And And that did not mean because you were a sergeant or an officer or anything like that, that you were excused. You weren't. You had to take your turn at it. And you had such a great sense of camaraderie that it made for a really good feeling, I think. You very rarely got people falling out. Well, from there, we went to New Haven from Bognor and landed on to LCTs, landing craft tanks. That was about, I think they held about 7 tanks.
What was your function with the unit by now?
I was still lieutenant, troop leader, still a troop leader. When I went out to Egypt, of course, I was second lieutenant then, and I became troop leader, a lieutenant. And of course, we went over on D-Day. As you know, it's cancelled for a day. We had a rather nasty time sitting around in Southampton Water, going up and down. Lots of people seasick. And then the following day, and I think it was about following morning, I suppose, about 4 hours after sunrise, something like that, we went in and landed over there.
What was the voyage across the channel like?
Wasn't too bad, but then I've never had any difficulties about sea. But no, I don't think it was bad at all. I thought it was pretty calm, actually.
Can you describe the landing? Is it?
Yes, I think. What I do remember most particularly is when we were some mile or two offshore, I suppose, they had, or we'd had, a load of rocket launchers on flat-bottomed boats. And these things were sent off in salvos, and it just shot up in the air at an angle and landed, God knows where, in France somewhere, but quite a sight. I saw 2 landing craft, not ours, go down. Well, we couldn't stop. There was no, you know, you couldn't have anyway if you wanted to, with a small craft. We were very unmaneuverable. We landed, and I couldn't believe it. There was not a shot fired. Not a shot. We landed there, and we were supposed to assemble at a certain point. But when we got there, it was a minefield. So we had to push along for about another mile up the road, and then get off the road into the fields. My squadron, C squadron,